We are headed into a time of testimony. This will be a little bit different than we've done in past Sundays. No breakouts today, so you're not going to be put on the spot. But we do have a number of people who've agreed to share a little bit about what God's been doing in their lives, how he's met them. And I'm just going to invite you one at a time to unmute your mics and to share, to keep pointing us to God and what he's done so that we can worship him. So let's do that now. Breezy, if you would like to, you can. You are not obligated.
Yeah, I wasn't going to share a lot because I think Erica and my story is quite similar. And thank you, Erica, for putting yourself out there and sharing. I was similarly really thankful for the class as a place to sort of enter into the discomfort and grief of what's not right in the world with others. And we were all on, you know, coming from different places with different stories. But it was just good to be together to unpack some of those things. So I was really thankful for that. And yeah, that's it. I didn't really have a big story to share.
Yeah, the intention in all of these things is that we would be met by God and that we would praise God. Those of you who may have questions about the class on race, glad to answer any questions about that. Fairly basic. We looked at the Bible together. We looked at the news together. And we had some discussions around those things and some video presentations by Brenda Salter McNeil from her book, Roadmap to Reconciliation. So, but yeah, praise God. There's a lot going on in the world, and we want to enter in to where the broken and hurting places are and be signs of God's healing and wholeness. Next up, let's see, Karen Trotter. Karen, feel free to unmute your mic and share with us your testimony.
Good morning, Redemption Church. The class that Jeffrey and I did was over a four-week period, was the, something learning about anxiety, but specifically in a context of parenting and raising children. And it was a chock full class with just so much to cover. It was kind of hard to think about the ways in which I could share about it in a way that could glorify God, because there was just so much there to unpack. But as I was thinking about what really made a difference in this class was the huge emphasis on how parenting your child. To have a successful parenting relationship, you need to have connection with your child, which it makes sense, but sometimes we think about formulas and systems and, discipline, consequences, and all sorts of things. But ultimately, you can't guide your child successfully if you don't have a good relationship with them. So the class was about anxiety, but it was also about, you know, how to parent in general. And the thing that I wanted to highlight from this class that I'm so thankful for is the way, the parallels that it draws between our relationship with our Heavenly Father and then how we as parents, imperfect as we are, also try to cultivate that connection with our children. And there were so many parallels, because you could kind of listen to one side where, you know, they're talking about ways in which you can help your children work through things. You know, they need to be dependent on you and know that you can keep them safe and loved. And in the same way, our relationship and our dependence on the Father, those of us who have struggled with not feeling loved or not feeling safe from our earthly parents, sometimes struggle with that also in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And they talked about how when we experience anxiety, the two questions we're often asking subconsciously are, am I safe? And am I lovable? And when one of those questions is not adequately answered in our own life to what we believe, anxiety, or as this course put it, alarm, can be a part of our experience. And so it's really hard to obey and follow somebody that you don't trust. So it was just a really good reminder that the way God seeks to cultivate relationship with us, and when we are dependent on him, then we can follow and trust and obey him in a way that brings flourishing in our own lives. And so as parents, we try to do that as well, to cultivate connection and not in, you know, out of anger, try to force the kids to do what we want to do. We might, you know, get the ultimate result, but kind of lose the relationship in the process. And in the long run, that's actually not that helpful. So it feels like life and parenting is a lot of trial and error. So I'm just thankful for the wisdom of those who have gone before. And specifically, this is the wisdom of Gordon Neufeld, who I don't think is a Christian, but many Christian families and many homeschooling families I know have been very blessed by his work. It kind of affirms what we think intuitively should happen, but has not always been a part of, you know, many of our upbringings in what we have experienced. So it's just a reminder of the way that God loves us and receives us and accepts us unconditionally is also a way that we can be with our children, demonstrating that love and acceptance for us. So I'm sure there's more that I could say, but I think that's probably good for now. And I think that we've been so blessed, and we're thankful to Kim for facilitating this course and bringing it in, and to the church for putting it on. So I hope that, you know, everyone has a chance to attend something that can bring life and flourishing in their own spheres of influence. Thanks.
Thanks, Karen. Praise God. I think the class was making sense out of anxiety. And I was doing some reading recently that said that the percentage of those reporting high anxiety during this COVID time is 4 times what it was before COVID. 9 out of 10 people that responded in this big Statistics Canada survey indicated that they had experienced symptoms of anxiety in the last 2 weeks, 9 out of 10. Timely and praise God. I mean, ultimately, we look to God, who is our peace. There is no other real solution. So anyway, some of you are asking me in the chat privately if there is a cue for people to share, and the answer is yes. First up, we're going to have Arnold, and then on deck, I believe, is Kieran. So, Arnold, take it away.
Good morning, Redemption, and thank you, Barry, for the opportunity. I thought I'd just share a bit of God's faithfulness in my family. It's a very long one, but I'll try to keep it brief. My mom retired in the last couple of weeks, and every time I get the opportunity, I like to share her story because she's really an inspiration. I think she's my biggest hero. She was married 4 years and had 2 kids when her husband died. She was still breastfeeding me. I wasn't even up to a year old when my dad died. And she was totally broken, as you would understand. It was very, very tough going. You know, back then we had this society where a woman is almost without rights. After my dad died, my dad was a fairly successful businessman. And when he died, his family took over the business, you know, left my mom with nothing. And she basically moved back to her mom with her 2 sons. She was working, but it wasn't a high income job. It was just like a healthcare assistant in Phoenix. But it, throughout this, she turned to God completely all these years. And when she was mourning, I recall she tells this story over and over again, you know, when her husband died and they'll bring me to her for her to breastfeed me, she'll say, you know what, take him away. I don't want him. I want my husband back. I can have more children. I'd rather have these kids die and give me back my husband. I mean, she was that broken. And so through this, God took her to Isaiah 65, verse 20, and from the 20 to 25, I guess, and gave her those promises, told her that these verses are for her. And she took it to heart. And I can tell you that God came through for her. It was, like I said, it wasn't easy. It was never easy, but she made sure that her two sons went to the best schools available. And she was totally, totally dependent on God to the point that even when things became a bit easier for her, because she's gotten used to the life of hardship, she didn't know how to save. She doesn't know how to put any money away because it's just not something she's more familiar with, constantly borrowing and having to repay, you know, when her salary comes in and all of that. To give you an example, a few years ago in 2014, when I got admission to go to the UK for my master's, but at the time I was already a physician, I was working, earning far more than she was earning, but she insisted on giving me money because I was going to school. So she saved up for several months, gave me what probably the equivalent of nearly 3,000 Canadian dollars. I didn't need it. I was earning more than her. I was going on a scholarship, but she insisted. And this has been her life, you know, just a life of dependence on God and provision and everything. Her story is long. I could go on and on and on. These years, while she was struggling to raise a family, she was working as an elder in church. She was a chorister. Was a Sunday school teacher. She just kept giving herself and depended on no one but God. And I just want to thank God for being faithful. Now that she's retired, it's just amazing. These days, you know, the sense of gratitude she has, when she sees her grandchildren, she every time I speak with her, she goes like she doesn't even believe this is her. You know, when her life was broken at the beginning, 4 years into marriage, by the way, she never remarried. 4 years into marriage, when her life was broken, she thought everything would end. And then she tells herself, is this me? I have grown kids, I have grandchildren. It's just a testimony of God's goodness. And I thought I would share that. Thank you.
Thank you, Arnold. Appreciate your sharing and the example of your mom who learned to trust God. May we all be so transformed. I'm going to go ahead and invite Maddie to go ahead and jump in here. I had mixed things up a little bit, but we're back on track here. So Maddie, if you would like, go ahead and unmute and feel free to share. The goal again of all testimony is that ultimately we would look at God and praise Him. So, let's hear Maddie's testimony and follow on in that way.
All right, hello everyone. This is kind of spontaneous. I thought I'd join a queue and have a little bit more time to prep, but that's okay. So I was part of the Christian Sexuality Book Club that we've been doing, and I noticed it's a smaller group, so none of us stepped up to kind of share what's been going on and what we've been learning. So I thought I would jump in and give a bit of an update. We're learning quite a lot through this book study. I think it's really shaped a lot of the ways that I look at Christian sexuality. We're just learning that sexual desire is actually so much broader than a desire for sex. It's the thing that drives us into community. It's the thing that makes us want to connect with other people and sort of underlies those relationships. And it's not something to be suppressed. It's not something that, we have to just look at in the lens of marriage. I think it was interesting to learn that, you know, the different manifestations of Christian sexuality, whether that's in marriage or in singleness, reflect the character of God in different ways. So in marriage, that's God's desire to create, his ability to sort of produce, and make his creation. Whereas in singleness, it's sort of God's ever expanding love for his creation and sort of that unique ability for people who aren't married yet or just don't get married to be able to sort of love on other people and have a broader network because they just have more capacity to connect with people in different facets of life. So that has been really interesting. And I think also just understanding that sexuality, it's, you know, these desires, it's not, there's like a C.S. Lewis quote, I think, of like, it's not that our passions are just too much for God. It's that God actually finds our passions lacking, that he's calling us into something that is actually stimulating our passions and our deepest desires in an even stronger way than we're allowing for. And learning a lot kind of too about how sexuality has been commodified, and it really ties into our consumerist culture. I think there's kind of this weird dichotomy of the way that society looks at sexuality, which is like, on one hand, it's this thing, you know, people are things and we can sort of just exploit that as like a happiness machine. And then the flip side of that is it's also essential to human fulfillment and human identity to be able to have complete sexual freedom. And both of those two kind of opposing ideas we find really wanting and not able to sort of satisfy. So that's been, really interesting to sort of unpack a lot of these views and understandings about sexuality, and especially how a lot of them have just been internalized and really taken for granted as being true. When you actually kind of take a second to unpack it, you realize how a lot of those things tie into just greater dysfunction and unhappiness that we're seeing in society. So it's broader than just kind of the box that we would put sexuality in a lot of the times when we talk about sex in the church. So it's been a really cool study, and I just wanted to kind of share some of those highlights with you guys. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Maddie. The last thing we're gonna do by way of testimony is to share a video that was put together celebrating what God did in that God's Grotto event in late October. I'm going to share my screen and then play the video for you. Evan wanted me to be sure to say that this is not a celebration of an event. It is, or at least not just a celebration of an event. It's a celebration of what God did for weeks in our church community as people work together on this thing to be a witness to the community. So a reminder that God loves them, a reminder that there is light in the midst of darkness. We're gonna go ahead and turn it back over to the worship team now. But you know, as I've repeated multiple times this morning, my hope is that we keep pointing back to Jesus, that we turn our eyes upon him, that we worship him and give him praise. So in everything that we say and all the things that we show, that we would be signposts pointing back to him.